You ready? Could give out the sheets now. It's okay. I'll do that now. And pass this out, please. Okay. Just one sheet per person. So we left off yesterday. We began speaking. We almost finished Perek Gimel. And I want to ask you. I wanted to ask you to take a look. Take a look at the way Perek Gimel is. If you turn back to the previous page of Perek Gimel, so the bottom line, the line on the bottom of Perek Gimel on page 11, look inside. Look inside the text. So yesterday we pretty much almost finished Perek Gimel. We went through the majority of it. But if you look, I want you to see. You see the two dots at the bottom line, and then it says a Bira Inyan. You see? Next, I want you page 10 or 11, 10 and 11. Okay. The bottom line. I mean literally the bottom line. The line on the bottom. But explanation of the matter is as follows, or Bira Inyan. Yeah? What is this perek about? What do we say? What's chapter 3 about?
Introduction to the Midas and...
Let's start with generally. What's the perek about?
Faculties
of the soul. Your personality, faculties of the soul, as opposed to later we saw the garments of the soul, correct? So, Bir HaInyan, what does Bir HaInyan tell you? In any book, when you learn something and then it says, Bir HaInyan, the explanation of the matter is as follows, what does that mean? What's the connotation of that if you have in a chapter, in a book, Bir HaInyan, explanation of the matter is as follows, what does that mean? It's a recap? Is it just a recap? To expound on and to continue to explain what I just said. So, based on that and what we learned yesterday, what's most of the perek about? Think for a second and look inside the text. What is most of the perek about based on the Bir HaInyan?
How we use the faculties to come to our own.
Yes, good. I want everyone to look. Think, good. Think for, I'll say in a second, but think if you look inside yourself. Think for a second. Look again at most of what we read yesterday and think what the main thrust of the perek is about. Generally, it's about faculties of the soul. Yes, that's how he starts chapter 3, and then he says, Bir HaInyan to explain what? What's he explaining? What do we spend the day yesterday explaining? Is it true? Is it to explain what Chochma and Bina is? Is that the Bir HaInyan? Just to explain what Chochma and Bina is. Huh? It's not just to explain what Chochma Bina is. He's explaining Chochma Bina in order to explain what? What's the Bir HaInyan? What does he say before the Bir HaInyan? What are the words directly before the Bir HaInyan, which is already telling you what the Bir HaInyan is coming to explain? Hamidas hein toldeis Chabad. That emotions are the offspring of intellect, of Chabad. So the main thrust of the perek is, yes, it's about faculties of the soul, but specifically what's the Alter Rebbe coming to tell us now? How the emotions, how do you have emotions in serving God, Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, through Chabad, through intellect. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not just to understand generally the faculties of the soul, but the Alter Rebbe wants this perek to explain to you, in simple English, how do you change who you are? Because what do we learn what faculties of the soul means? Who you are. Your personality, right? As opposed to what you do. And we're learning that who are you is your intellect and emotions. So primarily, and we said that primarily the Pnimius Dika aspects of you are is your emotions, your character traits. How do you change them? True or false? You change your character traits primarily by controlling yourself. False. Wrong. False.
Change who you are. Change your faculties.
You could control yourself and hold it in once in a while, every so often. But if you really want to change your character traits, how do you do that? Through intellect. Midas hein toldeis Chabad. Since character traits, since emotions are from Chabad, to change who you are in a pnimizdika way, is through intellect.
But you're talking about the midas of the nefesh l'kis.
I'm talking about the midas of the nefesh l'kis, yes. But obviously, when we get to chapter 9 and we start talking about how the two souls have to unite, because the whole purpose of creation is obviously that the divine soul has to rectify the animal soul. So if the way to make the Nefesh HaLakis work is through the Chabad, so Kal Vachomer to be able to change the animal soul is also through the Chabad. Okay? So Lamaisa, so that's the thrust of what's going on over here. Is that clear? So to change who you are, because again, we're differentiating between what you do and who you are, because we're going to explain about what you do, that's chapter 4 and 5. But changing who you are is through intellect. Because why? Because emotions result, our children are offspring of the intellect. Now, based on this, now everyone with me? Step 2 is in intellect itself, in Chabad itself, which one is more important to change who you are? To change the emotions. Which one is more important to be able to bring about the children of the emotions? Chachma or Bina?
You need both.
So obviously you need both. Obviously you need both. But the question is, which one is going to... of course you need both, that's true. But which one is going to have a more direct effect on the emotions? Or let's say when you're bringing a child into the world, you need a father and a mother. Takes two to tango. But which one is more effective in actually bringing about the child to the world? Obviously the mother. The mother is the one that develops the fetus. Right? So in intellect, it's the same thing. We learned yesterday, we learned the mashal. We left off yesterday with a mashal. But now I want to go a step deeper. We left off yesterday, a mashal to shuk. With the altar, we went on to say how dafka tu bina. Dafka tu bina is how you come to have emotions. What do we say? Because bina is getting to the pratim. Right? Bina is getting to the pratim. Let's just read again the lines inside, and then I want to say again the mashal. Look inside of page 12. The intellect of the rational soul, which is the faculty that conceives anything, meaning the original moment of conception when you first have an idea that flashes into your mind, is given the appellation of chokhmah, the potentiality of what is. It's only the potential, like the father gives. When one brings forth this power from the potential to the actual, that is, when a person cogitates, meditates, with his intellect in order to understand the thing truly and profoundly as it evolves from the concept, which is conceived as an intellect, this is called bina, meaning you continue to reflect on it to get to the details of the matter, that's called bina. These, chachma and bina, the very father and mother which give birth to love of God and awe and dread of Him, for when the intellect and the rational soul deeply contemplates and immerses itself exceedingly in the greatness of God, how He fills the world and encompasses all world, and in the presence of whom everything is considered as nothing, there will be born and aroused in his mind and thought the emotion of awe for the divine majesty, to fear his greatness, blessed be he. Next, his heart will go with an intense love, and he will yearning soul to the greatness of the Ein Sof, etc., etc., etc. In other words, you have to have the bina, you have to have the pratim, right? You have to have the details. You can't just have a general idea to come to emotion. And we finished off yesterday by giving a mashal. You remember the mashal from yesterday, yeah? You're sitting by breakfast, 10 o'clock in the morning in your slippers, with your satin robe, and you're having your breakfast of Aunt Jemima pancakes and toast and hash browns, and you take out the Sunday Times and you read the earthquake in Indonesia killed 10,000 people, and you then say, pass the oranges. Unless you start looking at details, right? You start looking at details and you start reading mamish details of people that died and see pictures of people that died and this specific stories of specific people, and you get into details, then all of a sudden you lose your appetite. And I mentioned that that's also why in all the catastrophe flicks, they always focus on the personal story of one or two people. Right? And the other 2,000 people on Titanic you don't care about, but Leonardo DiCaprio, that's who you cry for. Right? It's because it's the details, that's what moves the emotions. That's where we left off yesterday. My question for you now is, listen carefully because this is very important. Why? Why do emotions dafka come from details? So yesterday we said the mashal to explain. That's an example. That's an example. That's saying the fact that emotions will only come when you have details, when you have bina. The question now is, why? Why? I learn about something generally. I read 10,000 people died in Indonesia. No effect. I start reading details of three people, one person. All of a sudden it moves me. Why? Why are details necessary to change you?
Because
What? Connection. What do you mean? Empathy. And what do you say? Okay, so you all said the same thing. Connection, empathy, and connect to it. Meaning, what are you're all right. What are emotions? Reaction. What kind of reaction?
Stimuli.
What? Emotions. What?
The reaction to stimuli.
The reaction to stimuli? Well, maybe, that's a little too general. I mean, if someone smacks you, you smack them back. That's not an emotion per se. What's the emotion? It's an internal reaction, or subjective reaction, meaning that what? That subjectively you are moved. I said to you when we began learning this that the word in English, emotion, comes from the Latin, which means to be moved. It's a subjective, reflexive, internal response. That could only happen if, I mentioned to you, if you experience something. Why? Because only if it's close to you. You have to feel it within you. It has to be close to you. It has to make that connection or empathy, like you said. You have to feel it. In other words, details is what allows it to become close to you. Because intellect is still what's called in Chassidus makif. Chachma is still what's called makif. It's still a surrounding thing that doesn't trickle down and become internalized. And let me explain what that means. Let me explain. In other words, kiruv, subjectivity, is dafka through details. You know, kiruv, to feel close to it, feel empathized, to feel moved. You know that the biggest difference that you could say between intellect and emotions generally is the difference between objectivity and subjectivity? Think for a second. The biggest difference you could say generally between intellect and emotions is objectivity and subjectivity. Do you see that? What's real intellect? Cold and warm, which is why intellect is cold, is called cold, and emotions are called warm. Why is true intellect to be objective?
Because there's knowledge out there. There's knowledge, and that is true objectively.
Well, I know the words we say is true knowledge is objective knowledge. That's what usually people say. Well, that's true, and I'm not getting into it, but that's usually what we say. True knowledge is objective knowledge. But I'm saying, but why? What? What do you say? It's universal. Okay. Objective means it's universal. But let's say, even vis-a-vis you, why will you only be able to understand an idea really if you're objective? You're not self-invested. In other words, for knowledge to be real, and not through the filter of your metzias, of your being, you have to put yourself down. You have to be mevatel yourself. You have to kilu not be. You have to allow the inyan to shine. Meichin, seichel generally, is not me. Is the idea shining. If I have self-interest and I'm only looking at it in the way that it interests me, hasheichad ya'aver eini chachamim misalav divrei tzadikim. Sheichad, if anyone has any netiyah, you have any selfish netiyah, selfish negiyah, how do you say in English, no? Since interest, huh? Self netiyah means
inclination.
You're not going to see the inyan kamei shahu. You're not going to really see it clearly. So intellect means to be objective. Intellect means to be objective. Let the idea shine at you. What's then emotions? The exact opposite. What are emotions? How do I feel about it? The exact opposite. Emotions is now saying, okay, and now how do I feel about that? That's emotions by definition is how do I, is subjective, what do I feel about that? That's why Chassidus says that generally Meichin is Ayin and Midas are Yesh. And here's a $67,000 question. Who remembers from Igeres HaTshuva when we learn this? Chapter 9, what do we learn about this in Igeres HaTshuva? $67,000 question. Whoever gets this gets a check from the shul for $67,000. Where do we learn about this idea in Igeres HaTshuva that the meichin are ayin and emotions are yesh? Do you remember? Anyone remember? That what? Very good, beautiful, good. David, speak to Nodman. He'll give you a check. Right, we learned in Perek Tes Tshuva Ilah. We spoke about Shuvila in chapter 9. What do we say? What's Shuvila? What's Shuvila? We said in chapter 9 that Shuvila is Bina, right? Shuvila is Bina. Why do we say Shuvila is Bina? Because we spoke about connecting to the Inyan, letting Bittul to Ein Sof. Not emotions, but actually being completely in a state of Dveikus, of always connect, of bringing your soul back to Ein Sof, by having the Hizbeinunus of Ein Sof, of Yichudila. That's what we spoke in regards to Tshuva, and that's the ultimate Tshuva. The ultimate Tshuva is awareness of how one dissolves in Ein Sof. Could you ever have emotions for that? No, the ultimate Bittul is awareness of that. That we spoke about in regards to Tshuva, chapter 9. You can take a look at it over there later. But Lamaisa, getting back to what we're learning over here. So, if intellect is objectivity generally, and emotions are subjectivity, how do I feel about that? What's going to be by definition, listen carefully, what's going to allow the objective idea to become subjective within me, close to me, that I should be able to feel it? No, we're not up to that yet. We'll get there even before that. The answer is I need details about it. If I don't have details, it's not close to me. It's still makif, it's still a surrounding light. And let me give you an example. This sounds a little still. Let me explain better what that means, okay? Everyone, did you ever have this thing, did it ever happen to you, this circumstance, where you're trying to figure something out, and you're really concentrating to try to figure something out, and it's a hard sugya, or it's a hard idea, and you're racking your brain to figure something out, a whole, you know, deep idea, and all of a sudden, I got it. You feel like you got it. Like, all of a sudden, everything becomes clear. And you're all excited, and you run, and you say, okay, I got it, and you know, whatever, and you're all excited, and you're jumping around, and you're all excited, and then a couple of minutes later, somebody says, okay, now say it over, and you forgot it. Ever happened to you? Ever happened to you? And all of a sudden, oh my God, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Like, you were so excited, you had this unbelievable flash, where all of a sudden, everything was clear. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I have no idea what I was going to say. What happened over there? What happened was you had a flash of chachma, but you didn't then bring it into bina, and so the flash went away. Why? Because listen carefully. Chachma is you being in a complete state of passive receptivity. Chachma is the pshat. What does it mean to concentrate, to try to figure something out?
Block everything out.
To block everything out and to put your moichin in a state of bittul. Try to let the idea shine. When you're concentrating to figure something out, and this is, by the way, if you want to be a good student in a class, the way to be a good student is this way also, that you have to put your seichel in a state of bittul. That's Chassidus brings that the Gemara says, Kol Talmud Sheyesh Lo Pnei Rabbi Vein Tzivseis of Noit V'Smor. Any student that sits in front of his Rebbe and his lips are not dripping drool, like he's not in a state of bittul, is not going to really perceive what the teacher's saying, because he's right away trying to impress the teacher with, oh, this idea, reminds me of this idea and this idea, so you're not really chopping what's being said. You have to completely put your seichel, concentrating means you put your seichel in a state of bittul. You allow the thing to shine. And that's what happens when you concentrate, you're sitting in a state of bittul. Now, all of a sudden, if you're seichel in a state of bittul, you put your mind in a state of receptivity, the idea, all of a sudden, it shines in you. At this moment when it shines in you, Have you been typhus? Have you now grasped the Inyan? Think for a second. Have you now, if the Inyan shined at you, have you yet grasped the Inyan? If I quickly show you a picture and you're like, wow, that's beautiful, then I take it away and I say to you, explain to me what you saw. You won't be able to explain it. Why not? Because it just shined at you. You didn't absorb it. It just shined at you. The idea shined at you, but it didn't. You weren't typhus it. You didn't get it with your brain. When the idea shines at you, what's the next step? What you have to do now? How do you internalize it? What do you have to do now? You have to process it. What do you have to do? You have to now put your seichel in the opposite direction. You have to now, and that's why you can't be lazy. That's why it's hard to do this. That's why details are much more difficult. That's why people like a lot more watching a movie than trying to read a book or something. Because when you're watching a movie, it's like an inyan of chochma. It's like ideas just shining at you. When you have to figure it out, that your seichel is in a tnu of ispashtos, your mind now is working to figure the idea out and to get the details, and the details is what makes it closer to you. And then it could become part of you. And then you could remember it. Do you understand? Details is what makes it closer to within you. And therefore, so too vis-a-vis God. If you just say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale kol alma, His light fills the world. Just a general idea about God. That's not going to bring about emotions, because you need to experience it, meaning it has to be close to you, meaning it can't just be a general idea. And that's why people that think they're going to have a general idea about God and they're going to come to have emotions. You're just going to say, you know, I love God. I love God. I'm just going to keep saying, I love God. God is great. God is great. I'm just going to keep saying, God loves me. And I'm going to wait to have emotions from that. It's sort of like a person thinking that they're going to just say, I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy. And you're going to become a doctor. Let's become a doctor by just saying health. Health. Well-being. And you just meditate on the word health. Well-being. Good flowing blood. And that's how I'm going to become a doctor. I'm just going to say, you know, heart has to pump properly. The lungs have to work properly. And that's how I'm going to become a doctor. Narishkeit. That's a general idea, huh?
Few people.
Well, yeah, a lot of people might think like that. But that's by the way, is what's called, and somebody mentioned yesterday, that's the difference between the word meditation and contemplation. That's why what the Alter Rebbe is saying is that meditation, the way a lot of people understand meditation, as clearing the mind, is not going to make God close to you. Just clearing the mind and not having anything in the mind, how is it possibly going to make God close to you? It's the very opposite of having details. That's why really his Beinonos is translated as contemplation. To make God close to you, to experience God, you need to have details about God that we are contemplating. Take a look at the sheet that I gave you. This is the first chapter. There's a sefer from the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe's son, has a sefer called Shar HaYichud. It's in Hebrew translated in Ner Mitzvah, in Hebrew's Ner Mitzvah Torah, or Shar HaYichud, which is also known as Kuntras HaYizboinonus. It's an entire Kuntras, a whole book about Hizboinonus. And over here is the first chapter of here. By the way, Bechlal, you know, by the Chassidim, Chassidim say the difference between the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe is the difference between Chochmah and Bina, the Rebbe spoke about. The Alter Rebbe was Chochmah, and the Mittler Rebbe is Bina. Mittler Rebbe is Bina, Rechavis HaNar. Because the Mittler Rebbe is the one that explained his father's teaching by Rechus. But take a look, let's start reading over here inside. Look, this is the very beginning, chapter 1. It was already explained at length in a special pamphlet, which is called Kuntras Hespilus, which was a previous one, concerning the particular manners in which one may be aroused in his mind and heart, and the thought which is born of contemplation, meaning that in the previous pamphlet was explained about the emotions that a person has. According to the five levels of the soul, we must now clearly explain the matter of contemplation itself. Now, Mr. Rebbe says, I want to explain now what contemplation is. Which is the whole book. This is the book is going to be all the details. The reason the whole book is all the details. In other words, if anyone says to you, well, what do you meditate on? Well, this is it. This book, which is also in all the Mamarim. But the idea, what is the idea of contemplation itself? Look, to understand what it essentially is and what one should contemplate. What are you supposed to contemplate? So let's just start. In essence, let's do this one paragraph. We'll continue next week. But I want you to see this. In essence, contemplation, hisboinonus, which comes from the word bina, hisboinonus comes from the word bina, is the matter of gazing strongly into the depths of a concept, keeping one's mind upon it for long periods until he understands it thoroughly in all its particular parts and details. This is the inner aspect of the faculty of Bina, understanding. In the terminology of the Talmud, it is called Iyun, as stated in Sukkah, as opposed to Girsa. Like the Gemara in Sukkah says, there is Girsa and there is Iyun. You know what the Gemara says? The difference between Girsa and the Gemara says that when you're learning, you have to sit in a Sukkah. So the Gemara says, if you're learning for Girsa, you could sit in a Sukkah. But if you need to do Iyun, you don't have to sit in the sukkah, because you need to concentrate more. What's the difference between Girsani and anyone that learned in yeshiva? Knows there's two stern. Well, in Soner Yisrael they call it Bikiyas, right? But in the other yeshivas they call it Girsa and Iyun. Bikiyas they would call Girsa. What's the difference between Bikiyas and Iyun? You learn something in the Bikiyas or the Girsa, or you learn in the Iyun? big picture or details? Just get the idea generally or details. The Mitzvah Rebbe says, you know what contemplation is? Details. Because that's how it's going to become close to you. You're not going to be able to have emotions about God unless you have details about God. And I'm going to leave you with the following question to think about over Shabbos. If I was to say to you to close your eyes and think about God for 60 seconds, not more, but just to contemplate details about God, not Bab Metzia, not Schar Va'Einish, not the 13 principles of faith, God. Just think about God. If I said you to think about your first cousin, you could think about your first cousin, details about your first cousin. Could you think for a minute about God? Would you have enough details in your mind about God, about the way He looks, His light looks, things to the way He manifests, His bainanus? Would you have material, would you have details to make it close to? If not, how am I supposed to have emotions? How could I experience them? So, we'll continue Mitzvah Shem next week. Pass the sheets up so I could, unless you want to hold on to them.
Yesterday I asked you, so what's the difference between Bina and Machshava? This is Levush, this is Kohot. And you said that the Machshava is the processor.
Yeah.
As a processor, איך זה יכול להיות מחשבה? זה הכוח שנותן לי לחשוב. אז למה זה אני יכול להפשיט אותו ולהלביש אותו, אם זה הכוח זה? אז זה נשמע בדיוק ההפך, שהבינה זה הלבוש והמחשבה זה ה...
מחשבה זה הלבוש של הבינה. בינה הוא הנהג, המחשבה זה הרכב.
בינה זה הנהג, המחשבה זה הרכב, אז אתה מחליף את הרכב כל פעם?
מה? לא, הנהג... מה קורה עכשיו במחשבה? חוכמה?
יש לי חוכמה, בום. משהו הגיע עכשיו.
אז המחשבה הוא בביטל.
נכון.
בינה כי הוא עכשיו הנהג ש...